This hour of the Jason Rancho is brought to you by Northwest Safe. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home, so let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? A Jason Rant exclusive.
Up until August 1st, young Lim was a Seattle police officer, but he was just fired. And the reason that was given was he self-reported his addiction to marijuana. And while SPD Chief Carmen Best commended him for his honesty in coming forward, wished him the absolute best of luck in his recovery, she also fired him for violating a policy outlined simply saying you cannot consume marijuana and also be a cop. Earlier today, he got the approval to move forward with an appeal, and now he's joining me in studio. Young Lim, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
So all of this stems from an incident on December 31st, so New Year's Eve last year. Take us through exactly what happened.
Yes. Before that, quick correction. I haven't gotten the approval just yet. I just had the meeting, so, but regardless, hopefully that they do approve it. So on January 1st, my lieutenant called me into his office to talk about this transfer request that I put in. In the transfer request, I stated that I was suffering from symptoms of depression. And luckily he noticed that, and he had an officer who was involved in peer support come and talk to me. That officer told me his story about his substance use and how the department helped him out during his trying times. So mm-hmm. I decided to come forth and tell my lieutenant that I was also, you know, having this substance problem. After that, you know, he took the appropriate steps and sent me home. After that, the department actually sent me to a 45-day rehabilitation center out in California. There, you know, I talked to a lot of therapists and counselors, and I got a lot of good help there. So I'm very grateful for the department for that, definitely. And while I was there, you know, I was actually diagnosed with PTSD and major depression, which was kind of a shocker to me because, you know, I always knew that I may have been suffering from depression, but PTSD, that was kind of a blindside for me because, you know, I would have certain, like, incidents always kind of popping into my head, but I didn't really think too much of it. But luckily, you know, I was able to get through it with the help of the therapists and counselors there. I also learned a lot of good coping skills because mainly the reason I turned to using marijuana was to kind of keep my emotions in check, so to speak.
It was like self-medicating.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, through these coping skills that I learned, I was able to, you know, kind of learn how to express myself and really just kind of talk about my feelings, you know. And it's okay to say that you're afraid and, you know, to confront your feelings head on and talk to people like that, you know. So it was a really, really good help. So, you know, I completed the 45-day program, and, you know, after I got out, I had a much more positive outlook on life, and everything was going really good, you know. I was able to enjoy my hobbies a lot more and started working out a lot more, so it was all good. And, like you said, fast-forwarding to August 2nd, which was actually my birthday, they told me I was terminated from the Seattle Police Department. So
what was the basis of the termination?
Like you said earlier, you know, Chief Carmen Best, you know, said that she commended me for my integrity, which, you know, good for her. And, you know, I don't hold any resentment towards her or the department because I definitely did break policy. However, I just didn't expect that kind of discipline. You know, termination's pretty, you know, it's a severe thing, definitely.
Well, let's talk about what happened here. So on December 31st, when you had said that you were self-medicating due to an addiction to marijuana, did you get tested by the SPD to see if you had marijuana in your system at the time, or was this just you telling them, I smoke weed?
I told them, and then they did take me to a hospital, and then they did have me urinate in the cup and had that cup tested. And, of course, you know, I had been self-medicating myself for quite a bit, and obviously, there would be THC in my system. However, I'd like to stress the fact that I never showed up to work, you know, feeling impaired or high or anything like that, because not only would that put myself at risk, it put other officers at risk, and more importantly, it put, you know, the community at risk.
Before the test, when did you last consume marijuana?
Oh, that was, so I work third watch, which is basically night shift. So after every shift, I'd go home in the morning, so to speak, and then use marijuana. I'd go to sleep, wake up, and then go to work the next day. So
okay, so you didn't do anything right before the shift.
Oh,
this
no.
is just, and THC can stay in the system for a very long time, which ironically is why police have a hard time dealing with some of these, you know, tests, sobriety tests for people who maybe were smoking weed at some point and then were pulled over for something, but it was just in their system. So you're saying that this did not impact your job as best as you can tell.
Yes. I mean, I believe I was still working to the best of my abilities, and I believe that I was a very competent officer.
And you never showed up high at any point during any shift at all?
Oh, never. Never.
So when you went in and self-reported, now knowing what you know, which is you were violating a rule that ended up in your termination, do you regret coming forward?
You know, I'm very conflicted about that. I would say I'm leaning more towards the side of I'm not really regretting it, because I was in such a bad state. You know, mm-hmm. I was in kind of this spiral of despair, so to speak. I didn't really have any regard for my own life. You know, I didn't really care if I lived or died. I'm not talking suicidal, but, you know, I just kind of had a disregard for my own safety. So I'm definitely grateful to the department for helping me get out of that situation. However, it is regrettable that I was terminated.
So in all of this, what have you been hearing from other officers and other members of the command staff?
Well, from other officers, you know, I've heard, like, that's kind of weird because there's other officers that have done much worse and they're still on the job. So it's definitely confusing for me that I was terminated. But again, I don't hold any bitterness towards the department for that.
Young Lim is joining me in studio. Up until August 2nd, he was an officer with the Seattle Police Department, but after self-reporting his addiction to marijuana and after going through rehab, essentially, treatment for this addiction, he gets fired by the SPD, by Chief Carmen Best, for violating the rules. And did you know that the rule was you were not allowed to smoke weed while being an officer, even if it wasn't during a shift?
Yes, I did know that, and of course I willfully broke that policy, which, you know, I completely own up to it, take all responsibility for it, and, you know, I've told Chief Carmen Best that I'm sorry and it won't happen again. However, she did make her decision, and, you know, she has to draw a very hard line, obviously, as the chief of police, and you can't really blame her for that at all.
But you are hoping that she will overturn this decision, right? I mean, you're hoping to officially go through the appeal process. How would that work exactly?
So if the guild decides to approve my appeal process, once I get a court date, we would go in front of a civilian arbitrator, and he would make the decision. We'd both present our cases, and hopefully he would make a decision.
So I can't help but remember Pete Holmes, current Seattle City Attorney, who made lots of headlines because he is a supporter of the legalization of marijuana. He purchased marijuana legally. He had it in his possession in his office, and he basically got a slap on the wrist. And here it is in your case, assuming there's, you know, the story is 100% accurate. You've never smoked while even close to being on the job. Do you suspect there's something more here to the termination other than just simply breaking the rule?
I honestly couldn't say. Again, they made their decision, and that's that. I'm going through the appeal process right now. Hopefully, it'll turn in my favor. As far as anything deeper than that, I really couldn't tell you.
Yeah. Why'd you become a cop?
To be honest, I just I really enjoy helping people, and, you know, they're... When I was a police officer, I would work the International District, you know, Chinatown. And, you know, obviously I'm Asian myself, and there's just this, I guess, this special connection Asian people have when they meet mm-hmm. each other. You know, we're very friendly with each other, and it's a great close-knit community, very pro-police, and I really, really loved helping them out. And, you know, as a police officer, you know, when you call 911, you're having a pretty bad day, and to be able to show up for people and help them in their time of need, that just, you know, it brings out the warm fuzzy, so to speak,
yeah.
in my heart. So.
And it's just, it's a rule that I certainly understand being in place before the legalization of marijuana in Washington State. I get why they don't want people showing up on the job high. That makes total sense. But this idea that you're engaged in legal behavior, you self-reported your addiction, which meant it's an actual medical issue. It almost sounds like whether or not this was the intent, it's discrimination against someone for a medical issue.
Well, of course, at the time, I didn't realize I had all these issues going on.
But you did.
But yes, I did, definitely. You know, and you know, I wouldn't say it's any different to, you know, people going to have a drink at the bar after work to, you know, just de-stress after the day. And that's kind of what I did with marijuana.
Yeah.
So
how much were you smoking?
Oh, man.
Was this like a daily habit?
Almost, pretty much a daily habit. Obviously, it didn't start out that way. It started as like a monthly thing, mm-hmm. turned into a weekly thing, and then, you know, daily thing, you know. And that's how my addiction started. And it was definitely a trying time. And as far as how much I smoked, it's difficult to say. Probably maybe like a gram every day after work.
When did you last use?
That would be January 1st after I reported it to my lieutenant.
So you've been clean for a very long time now.
Because what is it? 8 months.
Yeah, that's congratulations
Thank
on that,
you.
By the way. That's fantastic. And you feel like you're in a better place emotionally than you were at this time last year.
Oh, definitely. yeah, last year I was just very angry and kind of a bitter person, but now I feel great.
Just joining us, I'm joined in studio with young Lin. He is, up until just a couple weeks ago, he was a cop with the SPD. He was fired after he self-reported that he was smoking marijuana while also being a cop, though not while on the job. We're going to continue this conversation and what's trending in just a moment. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show and What's Trending. Joining us in studio to go a little bit more into his story is young Lin. He is up until a couple weeks ago an officer with the SPD. What is your message to Chief Best, who is listening right now?
I would honestly say that I'm glad to have worked in the Seattle Police Department, and I'm very sad that you made the decision that you made, and hopefully the appeal process will overturn this decision and I can continue being a benefit to the Seattle Police Department.
Have you started to think about what you would do if that doesn't happen, if you lose the appeal, assuming it goes through?
Right. Well, on paper, it does say I was terminated for, you know, substance abuse, so it'd be pretty difficult for me to get back into any type of law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
So currently I have plans to hopefully maybe apply to like a security position at like a casino, maybe Emerald Queen Casino, which is pretty nearby of where I live. So there's that. And hopefully I can do that until another department hopefully, you know, kind of gives me a second chance.
Well, hopefully it doesn't get to that point.
Yes.
Hopefully this appeal goes through. You seem like a good guy. You know, everything I'm told about you is all positives. And the fact that you came forward and you self-reported rather than keeping this a secret, which would have been bad for the department and for you personally, you decided to step up. And so a fear I have is that now someone who might be in a similar position as you, who works as an SPD officer or anywhere, might not come forward and admit something that they need to admit for their own betterment. And I'm scared of that.
I completely agree with you because, you know, police officer suicides are, you know, going up.
Yeah.
It's no joke because, you know, you're taught all this stuff in the academy, but once you really get out there on the streets and see all the blood and what a human being is capable of doing to mm-hmm. another human being, it's no mock scene or no academy lesson can really prepare you for something like that. And, you know, obviously my lack of coping skills made me turn to marijuana. And there's no doubt in my mind that there are some other officers in other departments that are maybe going through the same thing I was. And to them, you know, it's ultimately up to their decision to whether to self-report or not. And, you know, ultimately we're all human beings. I made a mistake. I owned up to it. And ultimately got fired for it, but hopefully in other people's cases that won't be the case.
Yeah. Well, we wish you the best of luck in what I hope that SPOG will go ahead and approve the appeal. I have every reason to believe that they will. They are going to back good cops, and you're a good cop. And this is just kind of ridiculous to me, and we'll do what we can to shine a spotlight on this issue to sort of hopefully overturn this ridiculous decision. I'm a big supporter of Chief Carmen Best. She's been a good chief as far as I can tell. This maybe she was put in a position where she had to do it because of the rules. Hopefully in the appeal process this gets overturned. Young Lim, I appreciate you coming in, sharing your story, and please keep us up to date as to what goes on.
All right. Thank you for your time.
You're listening to The Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH. If you want to send me a text, 1-800-465-8770. It's an unbetter tax resolution hotline. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The sports ball.
So this was actually a really interesting piece in the Seattle Times this week by Matt Calkins, a columnist there, who, by the way, I think is the best columnist over at the Seattle Times. Just throwing that out there. And he talks about the sports ball, not something I'm usually interested in, but in this case, it's actually kind of interesting in the sense of he's asking a question, and it's based on a few tweets that former Seahawks players put out there. If the NFL is so focused now on player safety that it's no longer football, the football that the football that people like you love. Because I don't love it.
First of all, Matt Calkins not as accepted in the WSU Cougar community as maybe you would accept him. Not really.
Well, this is what he writes. So he says, football has long been synonymous with violence, and the NFL has taken measures over the years to try and keep players safer. But is it possible it's gone too far? And in it, he quotes two tweets, one by Cam Chancellor about a call, I guess, that happened over the weekend. He said, these hit calls suck. I thought this was football. Then Cliff Averill said, it's definitely getting a little soft. I understand what they're trying to do with player safety. But at the same time, the reason people watch football is for the contact. Averill said that adding that the key is trying to find that fine balance. Anytime someone looks like they blew somebody up for whatever reason, it looks like it's going to be a flag. And that's unfortunate. Now, it's interesting because soccer has a little bit of this going on, so that's the only way I can relate, in that there seems to be very quick to call penalties or penalty kicks, and it just seems kind of ridiculous. But I generally agree in that I don't know why we are pretending that the NFL and football in general is not an incredibly violent sport. And that's the only reason, or a big part of the reason, why people watch.
I think it's really funny how football players write off their sport. Like, people only watch this because there's violence.
They're not
that's
saying
not
they
true.
Only watch it's, it, but they certainly... Are we pretending that that's not a big part of the sport? It's
it
a contact sport.
A part, but the greater
what happens,
sport is
what
not
happens,
the game.
I'm sorry, but what happens when a quarterback gets sacked? And we're talking about that big hit. What happens when it's whoever you guys hate this year?
It's exhilarating. I mean, it's awesome.
Do you cheer?
But if that is taken out of the game... You still watch. It's because it's a great game.
Well, so you're arguing that if the NFL tomorrow went to a policy of flag football, you would still watch and you would say, oh, it's still a great game.
No, because the level of difficulty then goes down.
The level of difficulty
getting
is
getting someone
yes,
on the ground. And
it is.
That is part of the game. But a bit. You
How
take
does
away
one get someone on the ground?
By
physically overcoming them.
Yes.
Okay. That is an integral part of the game, and it is why most people watch. If there weren't the hard tackles, you would take out a good part of why people watch the game. Yes, they, of course, watch for the amazing catches, right? They totally do that. And the amazing runs. But they also watch, you already had all of the great plays minus the violence, you would not have the same level of interest. And one could argue, when looking at the ratings over the course of the last several seasons, I know that it's one of those unprovable points. Folks have pointed out that as they've gotten more political on and off the field with some of the players, the ratings have gone down. But also happening at the exact same time is a bigger push for player safety. And so maybe that's why some of the ratings are going down. Because it's become less of a violent sport and there's too much of a focus on player safety, which, by the way, on top of that, then I think brings up some of the ethical or maybe moral questions of, okay, we all acknowledge that this is a dangerous sport. In fact, you're acknowledging it by pursuing player safety guidelines like this. I feel kind of bad watching it now because people could die.
Well, I mean, there's also the argument that people sign up for the game, but let's look at like head-to-head targeting hits is what they're trying to outlaw. People, with those being flagged, head-to-head targeting, people aren't tuning away.
You're watching the replay over and over and over and over again. You're playing the replay. You're posting it on Twitter. You're posting it on Facebook. You're posting it on YouTube. People like this. That's why they watch. And when you get rid of that, you then have less interest in the sport. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I am. I think it's wrong. I don't particularly like the violent aspect to that degree. But I feel like we're just ignoring that's why people watch. That's all.
No, again, you take away the targeting hits, which they're doing, you're not going to see people tune away. People are watching for the game, and it's funny how people just write that off and credit football as just this violent sport when there's no... And they pretend there's no art. There's no...
There is no art. It's
football. It is. There's athleticism.
Catch
on
ball,
display.
Go onto the other side in the end zone.
It's a
and then...
great game, yeah, and yeah, people yeah. write it off as
oh,
just
yeah.
this violent...
So much strategy.
This violent sport where people kill each other.
If
it's
you
not
want,
true.
If you want a sport with strategy, you go with soccer.
But it also has to be entertaining.
If you want a sport with strategy and entertainment, great personalities... You go with UFC, but you also go with soccer.
You don't go with soccer. Soccer's not even in the equation.
Oh, shut up. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text on the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline. 1-800-465-8770. Great text from the 360. If football is an art, then so is the macaroni necklace my two-year-old made.
That is.
Done.
I mean, that
Bam.
Is.
Bam. No, you're no longer. That is a sick burn. That's
no,
what the kids say.
It's not a sick burn.
That's what the kids say. They say sick bird, and then they go, ooh.
Football's a great game, and it only part of it has to do with violence, but go on.
Okay, when we come back, Sheriff Mitzi Jo Hanknik is going to stop by to respond to claims of dysfunction in her office. We'll get into that and so much more. You've been listening to What's Trending, brought to you by KeelMortgage.com. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM in the Greater East Side. There are allegations of dysfunction in the King County Sheriff's Department, according to a new report from our sister station, Cairo Radio, which says two division chiefs, both of which were appointed by the sheriff, resigned within a month of each other, one citing untenable management culture and another citing a toxic environment where it felt unsafe for the individual as a black man. To respond to the allegations is King County Sheriff Mitzi Jo Hanknik. Sheriff, thank you so much for coming on.
Hi, Jason. Thanks for having me on.
So let's go through the allegations separately because they clearly are being, you know, discussed internally separately. Two division chiefs that you appointed quit, both citing similar management problems within the department, according to this report by Carolyn Osorio. Now, one individual is the chief of intelligence unit, Gerald Wills. He claims that you're rude and condescending and that the undersheriff, Scott Summers, was, he believed to be a retaliatory bully. And he cited in this complaint a sort of a toxic environment where he was treated differently as an African-American. Now, I know that there was an investigation that was independent of the department. What did it find?
Yeah, when the claim was made, we had it investigated independently, as you said, outside of the organization, and the outside investigator concluded that there was no racial bias involved concerning that leadership team member.
So there was no any sort of bias whatsoever, and you, I'm assuming, concur with that finding.
I concur with the finding of that there was no racial bias. I did take a corrective action by sustaining a courtesy violation against the undersheriff.
So in that case, according to this independent report, Undersheriff Summers' management style had some significant issues. And in fact, according to this report, it says he did, in fact, bully, berate, and spoke down to this individual chief. And you've sustained a finding. What does that mean exactly?
So based upon the recommendations and actually the findings made by the outside investigator, my job then is to take corrective action and to assess what appropriate measures should come out of that. So this by sustaining a courtesy violation, that's a mark against it says sustaining means that wrongdoing was done. And the action, multiple actions that I have taken since that time with the undersheriff.
Can you tell us what those actions were?
I'd rather not. They're in process personnel issues.
Is it fair to say that you too agree with the findings in that you needed to do something with the behavior of the undersheriff, but it doesn't reach some sort of level where you want to fire the individual?
Correct.
Are you generally outside of what was, you know, alleged and found to have occurred in this case? Are you generally fine with the undersheriff's management style?
You know, I think that, you know, and as you mentioned, there's a couple from my leadership team retired and have moved on in different parts of what they want to do. But, you know, I'm working currently, as I always have, since being elected to affect change in the sheriff's office. I continue to work with the undersheriff and the leadership team to do those, take those positive steps to implement change in the sheriff's office and to work for the betterment of the community.
Do you acknowledge that there seems to be certainly a pattern at this point of just some people at least alleging dysfunction? Do you see that dysfunction that you're trying to alleviate? Do you think it's coming directly from you? Was it there? Is it sort of institutionalized?
No, I don't think there's any institutionalized dysfunction. I think that when you have a change in leadership and myself trying to implement some change, there's going to be some bumpy waters.
Yeah.
And that's happened multiple times within the sheriff's office throughout my career. And so every sheriff, and actually whether elected or appointed over time, has had changes in leadership. There have been, you know, people have retired and moved on, and mm-hmm. so that creates change. In the past, I've known people to have been demoted. So all of that takes place, and it's just something that, you know, happens in the course of any business or government.
Just joining me, we're talking with King County Sheriff Mitzi Johanknik about allegations of dysfunction in the office. A third-party investigation found in one case the level of racism was not, in fact, backed by any evidence, but did, in fact, find some significant issues with at least the management style of an undersheriff. Lisa Mulligan is a chief of field operations. She was, and she decided to move on, and she, too, cited general dysfunction. Both of these positions were appointed by you. Were these bad picks? Because presumably people will look at this and say, you're the one who appointed them and they're the ones expressing concern. They don't really have a reason to lie or to maybe fib a little bit.
Well, I'll talk in more general terms. You know, I am, I was honored to have both of these chiefs on my leadership team. I respect their decision to retire and to do other things. They retired as division chiefs and from the sheriff's office, very high rank. I am very pleased with the new members of my executive team, the work that we have transitioned to keeping in place and moving forward on is for the good work of the department. And most importantly, I don't want to have lost each and every day the deputies, the receptionist at the front window at the sheriff's office, the sergeants, they are doing good works for their communities. And so those are the things that I choose to focus on, making those who work in the sheriff's office have a good experience to make them be able to be their best for the community.
This does remind me just the folks retiring here, whether they're retiring because they're at that age that they're retiring or they're unhappy. You and I had a conversation at some point last year about upcoming staffing concerns, and it sort of mirrored the mass exodus that at the time was happening within the SPD. At this point, what does the staffing look like? Do you have the same exact concerns that we discussed last year?
Actually, we remain steady. We're at 37 openings for deputies, and that's kind of falls into the average as it does through the course of the year. And so we are filling up academy classes to the quota we get, and sometimes beyond that, every academy class. And we have that, those classes filled through the entire end of the year, and a list of more people wanting to hire on. And then we continue to work on getting lateral folks in from other agencies to come on board.
So I'm hearing rumors that the human trafficking unit was shut down. Is that true?
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely not.
Has there been a change in staff members within the human trafficking unit?
So we don't have a human trafficking unit. There are various assignments throughout the course of the sheriff's office, throughout the organization, I should say, mm-hmm. that work on different levels of human trafficking. We have probably what might upset some is that I've chosen not to do investigations like the one that happened right before I took office that ended in not such a good way in having, and that's that case in Bellevue, Jason, you may be familiar with.
Well, remind us, because I'm vaguely familiar with the story.
Yeah.
I know that there was some allegations towards the end, just some of the conduct from the officers involved.
This was a case where a rather large investigation into human trafficking with, I think, the federal government was involved, too. Mm-hmm. But it was in the city of Bellevue, and our agencies were working together on several different massage parlor type setups where humans who are primarily females were being trafficked for sexual exploitation. And so that was done previously to my taking office. There were some gaps in technology that created audio recording. But in general, those big investigations, what I told our staff was that I no longer wanted to do these big investigations that had the potential of re-victimizing victims of human trafficking.
Okay. What does that mean from a sort of a policing standpoint?
For me, what that means is that we're going in and we're doing investigations and trying to catch the perpetrators who are using these, in this case, female victims of human trafficking, and we're investigating on a large scale, and in my mind, to look at ways where the business, you could seize the assets of the business. That's not what I want my focus to be. Our focus is on victim rescue and human trafficking, and in particular, working the human trafficking into a youth and family services section mm-hmm. that I've been working on since this newer biennial budget, so that we can work on youth and family victim protection across the board to include victims of human trafficking.
So just from a staffing perspective or from a resource perspective, it's generally the same as it looked a year ago or 2 years ago, just the approach is a little bit different?
Yeah, the approach is different. If you were, nobody's lost an assignment about this. It's the detectives are still working as detectives do. It's just that kind of an investigation that I've described more broadly in large scale. Those will not be commonplace while I'm the sheriff.
So then last question for you, because all of these stories are coming out, they're certainly being leaked by someone. I don't know exactly who, or there in theory could be many people putting this out there. Do you think there are ulterior motives behind these stories coming out?
You know, I'm choosing not to spend my energy on who's putting out this information and why. I believe that, you know, it's my job to move forward with the organization and to work positively. I won't speak to information that is not factual. And it just is more important to me to talk about the remarkable things that we're doing. In the next few months, there's going to be some remarkable accomplishments by the sheriff's office, and I look forward to sharing those with you.
Good. Well, we look forward to putting a spotlight on that. We're big supporters of the law enforcement officers in this community and all across the country. We've been talking with King County Sheriff Mitzi Jo Hanknik. Sheriff, thank you so much for spending some time with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, and I appreciate all the members of law enforcement, and in particular the sheriff's office. Thank you, Jason.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho, live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Thank you so much for all the folks who follow me on Instagram under the screen name Jason Rance. We posted earlier today a Venn diagram of all the different groups that hate me. And then we realized once we did it, we didn't include all the groups that hate me because there's so many. But if you want to find out where you might fit on the Venn diagram, or really where all the haters might fit between hardcore Sounders fans from that Emerald City supporter group and the socialists and Antifa and the incels and the anti-Semites and my coworkers, also my coworker, there's some, you know, overlap. You should go check it out on the Instagram under Jason Rant.
Surprisingly little overlap. I think that needs to be corrected.
I think more needs to be overlapping. No, I think it's relatively good. But this is just draft number one, because the second that I posted it, everyone started to point out, what about King County Metro drivers? What about the Seattle Department of Education? I mean, there's so many other education, transportation. There's so many other groups that people pointed out that hate me. And I was like, oh, you know what? You're right. They do it. Neighbors. I can throw all that in there. So we'll do that on the next one. But if you want to check out the one that's there, just go to Instagram and search for the screen name Jason Rants. Just real quickly, I just got word over the commercial break that the Seattle Police Officers Guild did, in fact, approve the appeal process to move forward for the SPD officer. If you didn't hear at the top of the hour at 3 o'clock, we had an exclusive interview with a cop by the name of Young Lim, and he was fired from the force after he self-reported that he was dealing with depression, and as part of that depression, he was smoking marijuana, and he became an addict. The Seattle Police Department, he says, sent him to treatment. He went to rehab, where he learned not only was he suffering from depression, but also PTSD. Once he got back, after there, I believe he said for 45 days, they ended up firing him because according to their rules, and he knew this, you're not allowed to smoke weed, especially on duty, of course, but also not even when you're off duty. Now, that's a little weird in the sense of it's legal to smoke marijuana. There's no indication that he showed up to work while high. They did do a test where he had smoked 14 hours earlier, and so there was still some THC in the system, but at that point, that doesn't mean you're actually high. I think this is ridiculous. This is a young cop who is serving his community, is otherwise, as far as I can tell, a decent person and a decent cop. And to fire someone for something like this just goes one step too far, especially since we're in a city in which the city attorney was caught with weed in his office, violating rules, and he just got a little slap on the wrist. And you know what? I'm okay with that, too. This is absolutely ridiculous. So we're going to be staying on this topic as it progresses over the coming months. Again, he's going to go now in front of an arbitrator to make the case. We wish him the absolute best luck. If you missed that interview, you can download it on the podcast at ktth.com.